Good morning to all of you. It is good to see you. I look out over the audience and I would be kind of discouraged if I thought somebody let out the word that I was going to be speaking today. But I know something that most of you don't get to see. And I'm going to share a little bit of it with you, and then I want to get into our lesson. First off, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning and to you from God's Word, and I hope that the things that are said and done will be an encouragement to you, will help you in your walk this week. But the thing that I get to see that most of you don't get to see is what goes on in the back. We look at the board over here, and we see last week we had like 66 folks in attendance. I want to share a little secret with you. There's some folks that can't come. They're either sick or they have a compromised immune system and they're afraid they'll get sick, and they're staying home. And most Sundays we'll have 30 or 40 people watching online. Well, that's 30 or 40 people, but that's usually family, so you can pretty much double it. And you see, we've got 60 or 80 folks that are not here in person that are here online. So that's kind of encouraging. And then there is the fact that most weeks we'll have about 1,500 1,500 average worldwide listening to one sermon or another on our website. That's a lot of folks that are not here that are getting something from our assembly. This morning's lesson is titled Living in the Eye of the Storm. And I don't know if it's me or if it's what, but I feel like there's an echo in here. So I'm going to back up and hope that my eyesight will let me see what I want to see. Living in the eye of the storm, let me ask you these three questions as way of introduction. Have you ever been in a situation where your favorite quote was, "This too shall pass"? Ever had something going on in your life where your favorite verse was 1 Corinthians 10:13, that says that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able? Somebody said yes, and sometimes I wish he didn't have as much faith in me. Have you ever been to the point where your prayer has been, "Lord, I know that this is going to work out for my good, but would you please hurry up? I don't know how much more I can take." Job 14, verse 1 said, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." There are storms all around us. Right now we're dealing with COVID, coronavirus, one thing or another. And that's got a lot of things thrown out of whack. Since the second week in March, 6 months, we have not had a normal worship service and assembly. Sunday schools are gone. Sunday night service is dismissed. Wednesday night is Facebook Live Devo. And all of those devos and online services, and those can be good things. But we worry, will things ever get back to normal? Will we allow this condition to alter our perception of normal? When things get back, will we continue to stay home and worship by Facebook? Or will we come together as a family? For those of you who are worshiping with us online, I'm glad you're there, but I miss you when you're not here. And I think if you're like me, when you're not here, you miss something too. And I hope that you don't get used to missing it. I hope that you want to come back. But the coronavirus has got us worried. Kids going to school, are they going to catch it? Are they not going to? If they don't go to school, how are we going to teach them? Because mom and dad got to go to work. Who's going to keep the kids? Sickness, jobs, income, taxes, elections. You know, every 4 years when we have a presidential election, and I'm not going to get into politics, don't worry. But every 4 years when the elections come around for the president of the United States, somebody's saying, I hope this one don't get elected, because if they do... Somebody says, I hope this one don't get elected, because... And we worry. And I've looked over my little short lifespan of almost 60 years. And presidential elections have come and gone, and ones that I didn't want to be elected got in there, and they did their thing, and... We're still here. And in 4 more years, when the elections come around again, the Lord's willing, we'll still be here. These storms of life are things that we can endure. And this morning, I want to look at some samples, some stories in the Bible of people who went through storms and came out on the other side, and then how we can survive our storms. The first one I want to look at is Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. And we're not going to spend a lot of time in Genesis 37. We're going to jump ahead a bunch of places. I think this is a story that is familiar to most of us. Genesis 37, verse 2 begins, this is the history of Jacob, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And then the story goes on from there. I want us to realize that Joseph was 17 when his brothers sold him as a slave. You see, when we look at Joseph and his story, the one that we remember the most is that he was the second most powerful person in Egypt. Look at him, the power he has, and the wealth, and the prestige, and the authority. But we forget, at 17, he was sold as a slave. His brothers hated him so much. And, you know, we could just stop right there, but imagine a 17-year-old being pulled away from his family, away from his home. Don't you know he was begging, don't do this? But they sold him and he ended up down in Egypt. In Egypt, he was sold again. And we don't know the time frame or how long it was that he stayed a slave in Potiphar's house, but Potiphar's wife, she got mad at him and she wanted to get even. So when she had the opportunity, she accused him of trying to take advantage of her. And Joseph's master had him put in jail. While he's in jail, he rises. He's given favors in the eyes of Well, he was given favor in the eyes of Potiphar, and now and the Lord blesses him, and he's looked on favorably by the jailkeeper, and the jailkeeper promotes him into a status there in the jail of overseeing, taking care of other prisoners. And there were two prisoners in the jail who had a dream. One was a baker, and one was a butler. And Joseph interpreted dreams. And he told the one, you're going to be restored to your position. And he told the other, you're going to be dead in 3 days. And he told the one that was going to be restored, he said, when you get back in your position, remember me. You know what he did? He forgot him. You ever done anybody a favor and you were hoping that they would remember the favor and they would look favorably upon you the next time that you needed something and they forgot you? They left him in jail until Pharaoh had a dream. But the storm that Joseph went through, from 17 until the age where he was made second ruler over all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. How did he survive? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three slaves in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar commanded that they should bow down and worship this idol that he'd made as God. And they refused. So Nebuchadnezzar said, and you can read this in Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated. And then he turned to them and he said, if you don't bow down and worship this idol, we're going to throw you in the furnace. They didn't bow down. The furnace was so hot that the men that opened the door to throw them in got burned up. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not throw 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. King said, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like to the Son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said, we don't care if you throw us in the fire. Our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, we still will not bow down. We don't care if you throw us in the fire. I look at King David. He was a little shepherd boy who rose to become king over all of Israel. And we look at the king and we say, you know, look at the power he's got. Look at, he don't have to worry about anything. Before he was made king, the current king, King Saul, tried to kill him. He run for his life and hid in caves and hid here and hid there. And then after he became king, he had a son. Son's name was Abimelech. Abimelech tried to kill his own father. You think David didn't have some storms in his life? We look at the people and we think, you know, their life is all rosy. One fella says, you know, I'm poor and I'm barely getting by financially and I'm just making it. I wish I had $1 million. The millionaire says, you know, I've got money, and I don't have to worry about eating, and I can pay my bills, but I'm afraid somebody's going to take it. One ain't got it, and the other one's afraid somebody's going to take it. Which storm would you rather be in? Somebody said, we want to live in a progressive community. Define progressive, and they said, well, I want us to be like this town and that town, and I want us to have the things that they have. And right now, in that particular instance, they were talking about alcoholic sales. We want to be able to go and buy alcohol in our stores next to our house just like they can over there. Well, now we can, and guess what? We're becoming just like them. Theft is going up, murder's going up, crime's going up. It's getting to where before long, if you ain't careful, it won't be safe to stay in your home without the doors locked, even in the daytime. My idea, personal idea of a progressive place is a place where my needs can be met. I can buy my groceries and I can buy my medications and I can go to my doctors with relative convenience, and my family can be safe. I'd like for my children to be able to play out in the yard without me worrying about somebody abducting them. I long for the days when we could leave our house with the doors unlocked and be gone for weeks at a time and not worry that our stuff won't be gone when we get home. But yet when I was a teenager, we had a family that went to church where we did. He was the song leader. Don't get scared, Bobby. They got up that Sunday morning, they got ready, they went to church. After service, they got home. And somebody had backed a moving van up there and loaded up everything, including the refrigerator, and took it away. So they'd been robbed. I long for the days when that is not the case. And they may never come back again. That don't mean that I need to worry about them. That's just the reality of storms that we deal with. And there are storms in your life that you're having to deal with. I look at Hurricane Laura, and I was doing some reading and research on that a little bit this week and preparing for this morning. Hurricane Laura was a Category 2 for a while out in the Gulf, and then it got up to a Category 4. Had winds of 150 miles an hour. But in the middle of that storm, it was calm. It was large enough of an eye that you could fly a plane into the middle of it. And they said in the nighttime, you could be in the middle of the storm and look up and see the stars and the moon. There was a few years ago that there was a hurricane that came close to us, actually made it up this far. The eye of the storm, they said, was 39 miles wide. 39 miles, that's the distance between Decatur and Huntsville. Storm all around you, but there's a 39-mile-wide stretch, path, that's calm. How do I survive the storm? Living in the middle of it. I want to share with you some passages, and then the lesson will be yours. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, the Bible is quoting Isaiah chapter 12, I believe, in the Old Testament. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. What he's saying is that a reed that is bending in the wind or is ready to break, he will not break it. You have a candle that's almost gone out, and all this, there's just one little ember and a smoke coming out of it. He won't snuff out that ember. As long as there's hope, God will be there for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 is a central passage in the entire book of Hebrews. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, one translation says, be touched with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we look at people, and somebody was in one of these commercials, they says, so-and-so don't know what it's like to be hungry and to be in want and to be in need, and this one don't know what it's like. And we look at the high priest in the Old Testament. They were at the top of the political, economical levels of the whole nation. And the Hebrew writer says, our high priest, our intercessor, the one that goes to God on our behalf, knows what we feel. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like not to know, to be homeless. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to take care of a sick one. I don't know that he was ever sick himself, but he knows what it's like. He is touched by our pain. How do we survive a storm? We keep looking up. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24 is the story of Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the night. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. Call me to you. They didn't know if it was Jesus or if it was some other spirit, they said. But if it's you, bid me come to you. So Jesus said, come. There's waves blasting around. There's storm going on. And Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on top of the water. And he's doing fine. He's doing great. Hey, look, I'm walking on the water. And then he sees, he looks away from Jesus and he sees the waves and the storm and he starts to sink. He starts to sink. And he cried out to the Lord to save him. And in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And he stepped into the boat and the wind stopped. Mark chapter 4 is perhaps one of my more favorite passages in dealing with the storms of life. Jesus is asleep in the back of a boat. They're out on the Sea of Galilee. And the waves are blasting, they're high, and they're boiling over into the ship, and the ship is in danger of sinking. And the disciples, they are dipping feverishly to get the water out of the boat. Buckets, hands, whatever they could get hold of that would get the water out of the boat. And Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, and they go back and they wake him up. Don't you care that we're about to die? Tell us what to do. Help us. And Jesus stood up. And I've often wondered if he stood up and he commanded the waves, "Be quiet!" Or if he turned to the waves and he said, "Hush," like a mother or a parent consoling her children, "Hush." Either way, the winds stopped, the storm ceased, the waves settled. And the disciples didn't know whether to be more afraid of the storm or of the man who stopped it. They'd seen him raise the dead. They'd seen him heal the lame and the cripple and the maimed and the blind. They'd seen him cast out demons. But no one had ever calmed the storms. No one had ever stood up and told the winds, "Stop." Living in the eye of the storm, there is calmness there. But the storm's all around us. And one of the devil's favorite tricks is to get us to look down. Look at your feet. Watch where you're going. And we need to watch where we're going, but folks, if we look right at our feet all the time, we'll wander off the path. Paul said, "I've set my eye toward the prize." Lift up your eyes, folks, and keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye upon Jesus. John 15 says that, "Abide in me and I in you." And if Jesus is living in us, the storms will not sink us. Amen. When Jesus is living in us, the storms will not sink us. There's a song in our book, it's number 983, that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look square in his wonderful face, and the toils of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Turn your eyes upon Jesus. What do I do when God doesn't part the waters, when he doesn't remove the mountains, and I must walk through the fire? He will go with me if I abide in him. And he will go with you if you stay in him. It's a sad thing to live without hope. It's worse to die without hope. Let me say that again. It's a sad thing to live without hope. And there are people in our world who are living without hope. But it's worse to die without hope. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 12 said that at that time, and if Paul is writing to Christians, he said, "At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Those folks had no hope at one time. Paul said, "You at one time you had no hope. Now you have hope." How did they get the hope? Where did it come from? They turned their eyes upon Jesus. They believe that he was the Son of God. They repented of their sins. They turned from their wicked ways. They surrendered their life to him, confessing him as their hope, as their Savior, as the Son of God. And they were added to the kingdom, added to the church. You're not voted into the church. You're added to the church. Acts chapter 2 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." How did they become saved? Earlier in Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up and preached the first gospel sermon, and they interrupted him in the middle of the sermon. What can we do, men and brethren? What shall we do? And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." And we've got people all over the world today that say, just repent and pray. Repent and change your ways. The Bible said, "Repent and be baptized." Not repent and sell all your goods and give everything you have to the poor. Repent and be baptized. Baptism is the point at which you come in contact with the blood of Jesus and he comes into your heart. If you have no hope this morning, there is hope offered for you. If you have hope or had hope and have lost it, you can get it back. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to do so and take advantage at this time when we stand and sing.